Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick. Welcome to this week's HopeCast with my friend Jen Houston. Great having you with me, Jen.
It's great to be here.
And the purpose of these HopeCasts is to try to give our listeners an understanding of different issues in our culture through the lenses of a biblical worldview, through a focus of faith and values. And I hope all of you listeners enjoy this on a weekly basis to inform you and help you grow from a biblical perspective how to look at life these days. Jen, crazy times, aren't they?
Crazy times, David.
I don't know if I've seen things be quite so intense like they've been over the last several weeks. I mean, we've moved from the stranglingly painful earthquake in Haiti to the enormously powerful Hurricane Ida that came in 16 years to the day of Hurricane Katrina. But alongside all of that was what's going on in Afghanistan, that incredibly quick withdrawal that caused all kinds of chaos. Jen, as you look at Afghanistan, what goes on in your heart?
Oh, my heart is ripped. And I'm finding that it's hard to take it all in. It's just in this day and age, we have all sorts of sources of information. But at the same time, I don't want to be like an ostrich with my head in the sand. So I am trying to take in this information in this chaos and reconcile, like, as a believer, what do I do about it?
Well, the first thing I wanted to mention today is there is an important piece in the Christian's life called prayer. And we should pray for those people who are still in Afghanistan, especially U.S. citizens who want to escape, but also those who helped us along the way, those who adopted a more Western or Americanized style of life, that the Taliban feels desirous of completely eliminating from their new culture that they are establishing or maybe even reestablishing there. American citizens are at risk. They could be held as hostages for the years to come. Those of us who are old enough to remember the hostage crisis in Iran in 1979 under Jimmy Carter's presidency. That was his defining moment. Those pictures are what people remember about him, and it was disastrous. We pray that that won't be the case here. But we also know the Taliban hates America and could very well hold those folks hostages and might even kill them in some kind of regular basis to extort some kind of financial or military weaponry compensation from America to them. We pray not, we hope not, but that could happen. And those people they catch who were interpreters or aided the American soldiers and military arsenal that was there, they too are in harm's way and could have that same kind of thing happen to them. Also, the Taliban and Sharia law's treatment of women causes most of us inside to tremble with concern for our sisters who are there who might be misused and abused physically by the Taliban soldiers, might be forced into marriages at young ages like 10 or even 11 years of age. That makes our heart cry out in sadness as well as we realize that could happen in that land.
Well, I heard something from the underground church in Afghanistan that the Taliban is making you put an X on your house if you have a daughter between a certain age so that they can come in and steal your daughter. And this has come from two different sources from the underground church. So this is real. This is happening.
And we know that to practice Christianity in a predominantly strict Muslim Sharia law-driven culture is dangerous, and that Christians can and will be put to death if discovered practicing their faith in that culture. So that's another reason to continue to pray and ask that our government somehow have some kind of say in that culture, especially protecting young girls, young women, And to think that women can no longer go to school and be educated and forced to wear burqas publicly, that they can't go out in public without some kind of male escort, it does really seem like a step back into Neanderthal living, with women's being disrespected and unloved and appreciated in a culture. And I know that makes your heart sad, as it does mine as well.
It really does. And you know, David, I found earlier this week, like, what can I do? How can I really be effective in what I can offer to the Lord? And I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, just give me your heart and give me some time. And I sat on my couch and I just felt the reality of what was going on. And just, I began to understand just a minuscule amount of this terror that is being unleashed. And I wept and I prayed through the tears. And it wasn't just an emotional experience. It was, you know, just in obedience to the Lord. That's what I could offer to give right now. And another thing that the Lord showed me in that time of prayer is practice gratitude for the freedoms you have today. And I say often to my children, let's have an attitude of gratitude. And that's what the Lord is saying to me right now. Like, this is a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war, and He's given us the tools that we need to fight it. So these are just two little practices that the Lord has shown me this week with such heaviness going on right now.
Well, that's a good springboard for what I wanted to talk about next, Thanksgiving for this great nation in which we live. It seems impossible, but this Saturday on 9/11 is 20 years since 9/11/2001 occurred, when Islamic terrorists who live by Sharia law saw the giving of their lives and the killing of the infidel as their way of entering into heaven and having 73 virgins at their disposal for all eternity. That was their way of gaining heaven. We now look at the 20 years that have passed by in America, and we have been on high alert over those 20 years to keep another kind of 9/11 from occurring here. And although I understand from my friends who are in Homeland Security and things like that, that there have been those kind of attempts upon our land, they have all been particularly thwarted, though there have been smaller ones like Fort Hood, Texas, and the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, and some other places. They are small in comparison to the large attack on September the 11th, 2001, that took around 3,000 of Americans' lives. So I wanted to make a point here today in giving thanks for our country and its freedoms, the fact that we're not under that kind of Sharia law, the fact that women can generally continue to progress and grow in accordance with their desires and dreams, which I think is a beautiful thing in the church as Jesus established it. There's not male or female, Jew or Greek. We're all one in Jesus Christ. And I think that's an important distinction to make, that men and women are created equally in the sight of God, and women are called by God to pursue the life that He wants for them to have. But nevertheless, we've lived for 20 years without one of those attacks. And I think what Afghanistan did for me was reawaken my understanding that we have enemies in this world. And we're going to look at one next week, the enemy of socialism and communism, that has as its desire the destruction of the American Republic, of the constitutional republic we know. But we also have another enemy in Islam. And we are foolish if we don't recognize that the same Taliban, Al-Qaeda, now ISIS-K, Muslim Brotherhood that existed in the Mideast years ago and caused all kinds of havoc, though gone quiet for a while, their stealthiness now does not mean they don't still have an aggressive behavior toward an American ideology of freedom. We are foolish if we don't recognize those enemies still exist. I am concerned that over 100,000 Afghanis were exported from Afghanistan to different places all around the world, some here in America. Though I want to be a nation that welcomes refugees, that gives us a chance to love the tired and the poor from all over the world, I do want to state clearly, though, no nation in the history of the world has ever remained strong with open borders. And unless we control those who do come in, we are a nation most to be pitied. To think that there aren't aggressive, Sharia law-driven, radical Muslims coming in from our border in the south, and maybe even coming in on planes being redistributed from Afghanistan, who then have as their desire the ultimate dismantling of our constitutional republic and the replacement of that with a caliphate leader who then places us under Sharia law is foolish. That is an enemy of our republic. It is something that people still want to impose upon us. We need to recognize that, be aware of it, be on strict high alert. And I think we need to not only know that ideology, that it does exist, but also to vote accordingly that would prevent that from ever happening in our nation, to vote to have border laws that allow proper entrances into our nation, but also to keep that kind of ideology from ever replacing our constitutional republic. And I especially pray that for my sisters, for women who are listening right now and beyond, because this is a nation for you as well. And if you have any kind of a feminist ideology that supports and raises up women, you should be very concerned about this potentially happening. And biblically, as we look at a biblical worldview and the problem of Islamic terrorism, we need to realize it is for freedom that Christ came to set us free. Mm-hmm. Jesus yearns for a country where people can freely choose to follow him. And the difference between the Islamic idea of wanting a caliphate under Sharia law and worldwide and Christianity wanting that same idea is that in Islam, it is forced upon a people. Mm-hmm. In Christianity, they make the choice to decide to follow Jesus or not. We have the same as Christians, worldwide evangelism desire. It's just we give it to people and it's their choice. With Islam, it is imposed upon a culture saying from top down, we know better, this is how you should live. Mm-hmm. And of course, we who follow Jesus know that life change does not happen from the outside in, it happens from the inside out. Mm-hmm. When he changes individual human hearts and we then desire to seek and follow him.
That's so good, David. I'm just getting memories of I spent some time in the Middle East in 1999 to the turn of 2000, you know, when the world was supposed to end. And but I was over in the Middle East over New Year's in that time. And
Y2K.
Y2K, that's right. Wow, that's a throwback. But yeah, it just meeting Muslim friends. They became friends. And when they heard the gospel, they had never heard anything like it before. And so I just think you said something earlier about welcoming refugees and clothing them and helping them because they're tired and taking care of them. That's what we do. That's what we do as believers. And my prayer right now, just being over there, I just feel like I have a different perspective and this compassion rises up in me for the Lord to interrupt their lives with even dreams in the night of Jesus.
And that's happening, Jen.
That is being recorded and it is happening. And that's one way we can agree with heaven in our prayers. Lord would show up and save these people.
There's no human law that can keep God from giving a vision of Jesus to people around the world.
Yeah.
The fastest growing church right now in the world is Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's leading it? The women.
Wow.
And interestingly, they are receiving extraordinary and frequent visions from God the Father showing Jesus, his son, to them. And Jesus is saying oftentimes to them, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's causing massive numbers of conversion. And it's interesting, Islam can't keep that from happening. You can make no law
that's
going to keep God from doing what he wants to do. Now, we heard someone online actually in Afghanistan say, we want the caliphate and we want worldwide dominion.
Mm.
And see, what we don't realize in America, in our constitutional republic, we were influenced by Judeo-Christian values. It is clear, and we can talk more about that next week when we talk about socialism's threat. But there were Judeo-Christian values, biblical worldview values built into our culture. And what's happening now is the continued secularization of American culture, the elimination from God out entirely from any conversation whatsoever. Interestingly, and we'll talk about that this maybe more in a couple of weeks, but Harvard University, founded by committed Christians for the purpose of training ministers for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, now recently appointed an atheist as its chaplain.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
You know, I heard of a church once where the pastor said, some of our best members are atheists. And I scratched my head and went, what? I mean, to join a church and be a member of a church, you have to be a follower of Jesus, a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it makes no sense to me. But I think it reflects the secularization of our culture, that anybody who ever wants to believe anything is okay, and the continuing dismissal of Judeo-Christian biblical values in the formation of our culture. But such is not the case with Sharia. It is a worldview that has as its rootage a theocracy, where God is at the center of what they believe, and God is the one, supposedly Allah, who imposes this Sharia law upon his people. So we have a clash of worldviews that's happening right now with the understanding of the caliphate and Sharia law mandated for worldwide domination, and an increasingly secularized American republic that not only doesn't acknowledge God and continues to invite him out of any kind of historical past we've known him to have. So it's going to be interesting from this day onward. My point today is to say to anyone listening, be aware that in our beautiful nation, which is gratefully free, as you mentioned earlier, Jen, getting with your kids and having an attitude of gratitude with them, we need to continue that. In fact, if I could mention this, a Moments of Hope Church is going to have at Hope Farm on 9/11 from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock, a celebration of 9/11. It's called Remember and Honor. We want to remember all of those lives that were lost, but we also want to honor first responders. Yeah. We're going to have a flyover at around 6 o'clock going to paint red, white, and blue in the sky. There's going to be a bagpiper, food, fun for the family. Please, any listener who wants to come, free of charge, 4 to 8. It'll be a worship service around 6-ish or so, and we will worship the Lord, but also have a memory service for those who gave their lives, and also honor first responders. We're going to give gifts to first responders as well, and we just think the Lord will be pleased with that. If anyone would like to come, please do come, because we want to remember this great nation that we have. Though flawed, it has some difficulties. It's still the greatest nation on the face of the earth, mostly because it allows people, individuals, male and female, young or old, to pursue their dreams, to have liberties and freedoms God given to us. It is for freedom that Christ set us free, Galatians 5. And as we practice those freedoms, we can become the full persons that God desires, created in his image for his glory.
Wow. May God bless America. This has been so good, David. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. And thank you, listeners, for joining me today. Again, next week, we'll look at the second danger we need to realize in our beautiful constitutional republic. That's the danger of communism and socialism. It's not going to go away. Both Islam and radical socialism want to destroy the very foundations of our Judeo-Christian biblical republic that God formed. And let's always remember Benjamin Franklin's words as he walked out of the hall after the Constitution had been crafted and approved. A lady went up to him and asked him, "Mr. Franklin, do we have a republic?" And Franklin answered, "Madam, yes, we do." Then he said, "If we can keep it." If we can keep it. Dear friends, let's keep this beautiful republic that God helped form for his glory and his glory alone, for liberty and justice for all. God bless you all. Talk with you next week in our next Hopecast. I'm David Chadwick with Jen Houston. We'll talk with you all next week.